Hello, I'm Eric Holdeman, and this is Disaster Zone, a podcast about emergencies and disasters. Disaster Zone will bring you interviews and commentaries about all aspects of disasters, from what causes them to how people and organizations are dealing with their impact. This podcast is being sponsored by Dynamis, a leading provider of information management software and security solutions. You can find them at dynamis.com. Welcome to the Disaster Zone podcast. With me today is Jody Ferguson, director for the Pierce County, Washington Department of Emergency Management. We'll be discussing how emergency management became involved in COVID-19 mass vaccinations, also some of the effort last spring with personal protective equipment, and the planning that's needed to launch these types of efforts. Jody, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Eric. It is always a pleasure to talk emergency management with you.
Yeah, and for everybody's edification, although I do have to talk about the department, but you came out of a communications background, so you're not afraid of talking to the media or to Eric Holdeman, so that's great.
No, you know me, Eric. I love to talk. And yeah, I did make the transition from communications and media relations into emergency management, actually right here in Pierce County. So, and it was a great transition getting into media relations and public education for emergency management. And then as I just grew to love the discipline, I just started doing more and more within the department. And you know, it really helped me learn how unique the Pierce County program is. We're a very large local emergency management agency, and where many of my colleagues have teams of anywhere from, you know, three or four people up to about a dozen people, I'm blessed with a staff of 58.
Yeah, we have to explain that. That's actually was my first question, so explain a little bit about Pierce County and the composition of Pierce County Department of Emergency Management. Normally we think Office of Emergency Management, you're a department, so.
Yes, we are a department that reports directly to our county executive, which again is unique. It depends on where you go. Some offices are found within police departments, sheriff's departments, fire agencies, but we are truly a county government department. And I mentioned we have a staff of 58 because we really have a unique organizational structure. And we have not only emergency management, but the emergency medical system program office. We have a full radio communications division that not only deals with the radios and lights and sirens and all the public safety vehicles, but also maintaining a 700 megahertz radio system and all the towers that requires throughout the county. I also have the Fire Prevention Bureau within my department. So the fire marshal and all of the deputy fire marshals, inspectors, investigators, and plan review staff work for us. And then we're also host to one of FEMA's 28 urban search and rescue teams. So put that all together and it gives us a lot of talent and expertise and experience to draw from. So we're very blessed.
And you know, one of the things I've always admired about Pierce County Department of Emergency Management is you have these 50 staff, they're all doing, you know, their typical duties. But when there's a disaster emergency, everybody chips in, becomes part of the overall emergency management team, which I think is terrific.
Yeah, and right now that has certainly played out to our benefit, because as we're doing all these activities, you see emergency managers, you see deputy fire marshals, you see our radio technicians, and they've been trained so well that they can be, if they work for emergency management and they walk into the door, I have the confidence that I can put them in any position. And they are, and then I just get out of their way and I let them do wonderful things.
All right, so I need to nail this down a little bit further though. So if it's just emergency management, how many staff are in the emergency management specific function?
About 25.
Okay. And that's a good size
between, yeah. So it's split between kind of an operational focus and a planning focus. But again, they're I like to call them general practitioners. They can do it all. So they may have an area of expertise, but they can really do anything they're called upon to do.
Okay. And since we're on the topic, might as well talk about Pierce County in general. You know, how big is it physically, population, and what's your big hazards?
Yeah, so for Pierce County, we are about 900,000 in population, and it's a very diverse county from the urban area of the city of Tacoma all the way out to our mountain areas, Ording, Sumner, of course, Puyallup, Lakewood, so very rural areas like McKenna and getting out to Ashford and Elby all the way up to Mount Rainier. So I can't remember the square miles off the top of my head, but a good sized county, significant population. And our county government is an executive and council form of government. So there's one county executive and seven council members who represent the regions in Pierce County. Okay. And of course, we have our departments that report directly to the executive.
And you're home to the most dangerous volcano in North America.
Indeed. Mount Rainier is, it's beautiful, but it does give me some sleepless nights. Yeah. Our big hazards that we worry about, I think the top three, of course, are it's volcanoes, it's earthquakes, and flooding.
Okay.
You know, you throw a myriad of different things that happen during the winter season.
Yes.
You know, that gets thrown in. And then, of course, now, you know, a pandemic has always been something we've paid attention to, but obviously that is at the forefront right now.
Yeah, or an Amtrak train on its inaugural run derailing over I-5 and closing the major north-south route through the state and on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's really code for there's never a dull moment in Pierce County.
Yes, okay, well, we promised we're going to talk about planning for mass vaccination sites. So, but, you know, we kind of waded into this pandemic. So what role did Pierce County Department of Emergency Management play early in the pandemic? We're talking the spring of 2020, really a year from where we are today. And that was the distribution of personal protective equipment, PPE, and we're acronym free, so we'll try and do that.
Okay.
So what role did you play there?
Well, from the very beginning, we operate in a unified command with the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. So because we have worked and trained together for so many years, we weren't strangers to each other. So knowing the pandemic was coming and their subject matter expertise paired up with our experience with logistics and command and control, it was a nice marriage. I'm not going to say it's always perfect, but we knew how to work together and leverage each other's strengths. So as you mentioned, early in this pandemic, one of the problems we have is we live in a just-in-time society. So people don't stockpile a lot of equipment. So personal protective equipment being one of those things. So with the drastic need to protect our healthcare workers and our responders, working through the state and the federal government, one of the first things that happened was the activation of the distribution of the strategic national stockpile. So the federal government did have some stockpile resources available just for emergencies like this. So one of the first things that happened was that strategic national stockpile would send equipment to the state. The state would then distribute that out to the counties. And you can imagine with this going on nationwide, it's a very difficult proposition. I'm very fortunate here in that right next to my emergency operations center, I have a warehouse facility, which I mentioned that urban search and rescue team. So all of their equipment lives there. So I had a built-in warehouse, as well as rolling stock trucks. So when the state would get our equipment in, rather than wait for them to deliver, we could quickly dispatch our vehicles to go get that personal protective equipment, get it back to our warehouse, and then we'd quickly distribute it to healthcare and hospitals and first responders, everyone identified in the state's priority tiers.
Yeah, you actually have semi-trailer trailers. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right. That's a luxury of having that urban search and rescue team. So we were able to quickly do that. So that was I think a huge help to our medical community and all of those responders who were just so overwhelmed.
And what's your working relationship with Pierce County Public Health? And now I'm going to date myself because I remember years ago, public health in Pierce County was not associated with the county. It was its own special purpose district. Is that still true or are they now part of the county?
Yes, that's still the case. They are a special purpose district. It's governed by a board of health that does include representatives from Pierce County, City of Tacoma, and other regional elected officials and other healthcare professionals. But as I mentioned, we've worked together so much, and as we've exercised and trained for other incidents, we always work together. So it was a natural way to come together, knowing that neither one of us could tackle this pandemic alone, getting into unified command in our emergency operations center. So we were making decisions together, planning together, and executing things together was critical.
Okay. Well, it is those previous relationships that you've nurtured and that great example of that.
Definitely. And with the personal protective equipment, to get back on that topic, you know, as we knew early on that we couldn't, that the demand for PPE was far exceeding what we were getting through that strategic stockpile. So as soon as we could, we really made sure we jumped into the supply chain and started to purchase. Because we didn't want anyone to have to wait, and we didn't want our medical professionals to have to use and reuse all of this equipment because that affects their safety. So we really made a concerted effort to purchase all the PPE we could, so much so we had to move into a warehouse facility in Fife, one of our cities in Pierce County down by the Port of Tacoma. And because we were anticipating, not only did our responders in healthcare need help, but for businesses, for schools, when they got to the point where they would be able to reopen, those people needed to be protected. So we made an investment working with economic development to make sure we had protective equipment for the businesses, especially restaurants in Pierce County, made a significant investment in our school districts, so that when and if they could come back, and they've come back very strong, that they had all the protective equipment they needed to be successful.
Okay.
So yeah. Our protective equipment distribution, we can talk about more later, has really blossomed into even more activities. So we have a full warehouse still bustling today, a year later.
Okay. All right. I was going to ask you if you're still in the PPE business. It sounds like yes, you are.
Absolutely. In fact, it's even more critical now, I think, because we don't want anyone to get caught on their heels as people start to get vaccinated. That personal protective equipment is still absolutely critical. And as businesses continue to reopen and our life gets somewhat back to normal, we're still going to need that PPE. So it's really important for us to keep that moving.
Okay. Well, let's get into the vaccination aspect of this. And, you know, states were required, I want to say it might have been November, December of 2020, to submit vaccination plans. I'm just wondering, did Pierce County have a vaccination plan that they submitted to the state? And at what point was emergency management, if, let's say, last year, drawn into vaccination planning at all, or did that come later?
Well, at first, for the vaccination planning, of course, working with our health department, you know, we had some ideas that we shared with them. So the State Department of Health worked with all of their local health departments to help create this plan. So we did have an opportunity to contribute to that. And the initial focus was really to rely on healthcare systems and medical providers to get those vaccinations done. But we were, I think collectively, we were faced with a scenario where it was difficult for anyone to be successful because so many people wanted it and there were so few vaccines. And then the mechanics of getting people to a healthcare provider to get the vaccines, you know, they're used to doing that on a daily basis with their routine medical appointments. But when all of a sudden you have a wave of thousands of people, that's really difficult to manage. So I think there was it was kind of tough to get this off the ground. So then the question came to the localities, well, how could we make this system better? And so we had proposed, we had taken some target numbers of where we could help as emergency management. So we knew healthcare and medical offices and even some pharmacies were doing a lot of vaccinations. So my team put together a proposal that, you know, if we took a population of 350,000 Pierce County residents, how would we deliver vaccines and how long would it take to get both doses at that time to that population? So we put together a proposal that included several static sites, at least three static sites throughout the county that never moved so people could drive in, and then proposing at least eight mobile sites where we would go to all areas of the county. And we had the analysis done down to number of lanes, number of people per lane, you know, how many staff people were needed. So we put this proposal together and that was shared with the state. And with the data-based proposal that we put together, the governor decided to make an investment in local efforts like that. So we were fortunate, again, this team, not my doing, they're really good at logistics and analysis, and they came in with a level of confidence that, hey, we can do this. And our health department put some trust in us to make that happen. And we hit the ground running. So we've had, I don't even know off the top of my head how many sites we've done so far, but it's, you know, we're fine tuning the effort, but we didn't jump in the pool immediately, but we were kind of invited to wade in, and now we're fully in the deep end, which is a good thing in this case.
Up to your chin.
Yeah, definitely.
So at what point was this mass vaccination planning happening? Was that after the first year in 2021? Or was that?
It started, you know, all the dates are kind of running.
It runs together.
It was shortly, you know, once the vaccines became available, you know, this effort really started in the planning stages, you know, around holiday time. You know, November, December, because at first I think we were all watching and waiting a little bit to see how this would work. And you know me very well, of course, and I can't stand to sit and watch anything. I like to jump in and help. So when I knew the level of skill of the people in this emergency operations center, and I knew we could get it done and get jabs in arms really quickly and efficiently. So yeah. I just invited myself to the party.
Well, I had this question, how did you get involved? So you invited yourself to the party. But one of the things, I've got this expression that when someone is drowning, if you try and throw them a rope, they think it's a snake. You know, people and organizations have trouble accepting help sometimes until they're just totally desperate. They're at wit's end and they're going down for the third time, right? type of thing. I was thinking about this, and we got a question later in here. Our talk today is about how I think FEMA has bailed out Health and Human Services on the PPE. That should have been a pure Health and Human Services preparedness division mission that has the national stockpile and all the plans and all that, but they were FEMA's asked to step in and help again. But Did you have any trouble being able to, I mean, and some of it's based on all the relationship, but was it smooth or saying, hey, we can really help with this? Sometimes people say, no, we got it. We got it. We're good.
Yeah, well, I think there's always an element of that. And it's like, okay, I know you, I've worked with you, but you better be able to show me you can do it.
Yeah.
So I think it worked well in the fact that our partners had worked with us enough to take the chance on us to prove ourselves. So I think that definitely helped. But you do have to prove yourself. It's one thing to say on paper, I can help you by doing this, and you might get the, oh, no thanks, but yeah. It's, you know, easing into it. Well, do this with us, or, you know, let's watch how we get this done. Let's fine tune it together. So early in the vaccination programs, there were a lot of, events that were co-branded, co-sponsored, where you would have public health staff as well as emergency management staff. And when you build that trust between the two organizations, then there was that freedom to, well, now we can broaden. Now we can serve more people because we don't have to do everything, you know, completely hand in hand. We know and trust that each other can go out and serve the community well, but we had to start kind of slowly and gain each other's trust. And now we're able to branch out and serve more.
Okay. And you know, we talked about being old dogs. I'm a much older dog. You're no longer a puppy.
Right.
I'm the old dog. Walk with a limp type of thing. But you were around for the pandemic planning that was done in 2007 up to 2010. And I thought in retrospect that some of the things we did not plan for at all was test kits. I don't remember that ever being part of planning, or vaccinations being part. And that was pandemic flu planning per se. But was that true also for you?
Oh, absolutely. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever think I was going to be in the testing or vaccination business.
Or PPE.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. That one was more reasonable because it was in the logistics realm. But, you know, when my staff comes to me and says, oh, I've got an opportunity to buy 500,000 test kits and, you know, I can get us enough to test the community through the first quarter of this year, and this was last year, and oh, we're going to put together a mobile testing program where we take trailers out to all parts of the county. I never dreamed of that kind of stuff. So those are the things that are built in places like emergency operations centers. And to date, we have tested more than, I think we climbed over the 120,000, mark just in our testing alone. So then when vaccinations came on board, oh, and then we did flu shots along with the testing. I never thought we'd do that, but we were able to bump up the flu vaccination rate by co-locating it with our testing locations.
That was a good idea.
Yeah, and right. Now, and that was a good model now for doing vaccinations. So if we could get out and about and do testing, why can't we do the same for getting people vaccinated? So it's been a model that has served us well.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back after this brief message. This podcast is being sponsored by COBRA, an emergency management software solution. COBRA provides a cloud-based EOC software that is intuitive, collaborative, and affordable. Visit cobrasoftware.com. And we are back, and we're talking with Jody Ferguson, the director for the Pierce County Department of Emergency Management. And we've been talking about a lot of different things, but the pandemic and the role that her department played in actually executing any number of elements of that. And I guess, Jody, in talking with other local emergency managers, the response to the pandemic has consumed much of their staff time and effort. Is this the same for your agency? I mean, were you,
this is,
was it 100% effort, or was it 80% of your staff are dedicated to this?
It's darn close to 100%. like I said, all those unique divisions that I mentioned within our department, everyone has participated at some level. We're now at a point where I'm starting to, for example, just because they're a pandemic doesn't mean that, you know, radios don't need to be addressed, or that, you know, lights and sirens need to be put into deputies' vehicles. Businesses are opening up, so there's plan review. People are building like crazy. So now I'm at a point where I'm trying to, you know, allow those staff who really have those critical functions beyond responding to emergency. We're kind of rotating them out of the emergency operations center, but for the most part, at least 75% of emergency management staff are dedicated either to the emergency operations center or to one of our field sites for testing or vaccines. Okay. But we were able to do some unique things to really complement our staff. Is we've had staff from all over Pierce County government working in our EOC, from planning and public works to facilities to the executive's office to council to you name it. They've been dedicating their time to come in and work in the emergency operations center. And initially the CARES Act funding that we received last year allowed us to hire a lot of temporary staff to come in and help, which two things were accomplished there. It gave us some just fantastic hires to come in and do good work. And in an era where people had lost their jobs, it was an opportunity to keep people employed. So it was kind of a win-win. And it's amazing that the talent we came across. So we were able to, you know, we're working our staff like crazy, but we really had depth in the county and even in our regional partners from cities within Pierce County that put time in to come in and help. So we were able to maximize the resources in the county.
Okay, so it's not a charged question, but I've detected this from other emergency management agencies, is that do you see the work, I know you're going to answer this already, but do you see the work that you're doing to help with the vaccination effort and everything else you've done as a detraction from your emergency management program responsibilities, or is it core to what you see your mission being? Because, you know, you get emergency management program, EMPG grants, money that you had deliverables. You said, we're going to do all those things. A lot, a majority of that has not been done. I know at least one organization was supposed to recertify last year for emergency management accreditation program. All those things were paused. So what you were planning doing in training or exercise, everything came to a halt to a large degree. So do you think this effort was a huge distraction, or was it a capacity building? How do you view it in relation to what you had planned to do and all that?
Yes, you do know how I'm going to answer this question. I think it's really part of our core mission. I have my philosophy in emergency management is we are here to take care of people and solve problems. So I know that's not the academic explanation of what it is we do, but that's what I feel like we're here for. So if in any instance, if we have an opportunity to do either one of those things, it's not a distraction. Yeah. And there are ways to, you know, as we're responding to this, we're learning ways. Oh, well, here would be a good training element because yeah. We learned this, you know, in the middle of the event. Or, oh, I know how we could better plan our exercises because here are some things that keep coming up that we need to address. So I really feel that everything we're doing in response and in collaboration with the health department right now will serve us in all of our different program areas and to respond to any other fun events that may happen here.
Okay. And I agree with that. I blog a lot, and I wrote, here we are in the biggest disaster of our lifetime. And I think now and even going forward, unless I think you have the subduction earthquake Cascadia go off, that'll be a comparable one for the West Coast here.
Right.
But to say, you know, that's not my job. You know, that doesn't seem right to me.
No.
Okay, so although I'll just add this to it, you know, and I don't know whether you've been tapped yet for this, but I know the Federal Emergency Management Agency is being thrown in the gap to help Health and Human Services again, this time with unaccompanied minors. And I got an inkling last week, whether you've had any phone calls or coordination, where similar to the Katrina, people that were moved out from New Orleans around the nation, we were contacted back then, and you were around for that this is happening again now. Have you been contacted for that?
No, we haven't been contacted. From what I've heard, I did hear, and this is of course just rumor, but I've heard that the federal government has contacted some cities, but haven't necessarily contacted states or counties yet. I can't verify that, but I know I haven't gotten a call yet.
Okay. But I was thinking, I wrote a short blog post this weekend thinking, you know, FEMA's got this huge mission and they're being drawn in ever more deeply into disasters, that they need a division of FEMA called Other Duties as Assigned that they put staff to, where you're going to go help these other agencies with all the coordination that needs to be done, because you know, they've got a full plate with what they have.
Right. Well, and I think the key, Eric, you brought it up when we were chatting a little bit before the program, in that the successes in the response to any kind of event is really, don't try to recreate a system to do something if there are already, you know, places, agencies who are doing this work that you can then support. That's, I know that's what I like to do. Why would I recreate a system when, oh, you know, I don't need to build this at FEMA if there's someone at the local level who's doing this and doing it really well. So I think, you know, I feel bad with any emergency management agency getting spread too thin. So the more we can do, the work needs to be done. Let's find the best possible people to be able to do that work instead of duplicating efforts. So I think that's, at least that's something I always try to remind myself about when I have some bright idea to do something. It's like, oh, I bet there's someone smarter and more talented than me out there who could do this better. So
has anybody else worked on it before, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so let's keep this advice coming. So what advice do you have for emergency managers who may be called upon to help with vaccination efforts in their community? We're really only, I'm thinking, 10-20% of the nation being vaccinated now with one or both shots. So there's a whole lot more vaccinations have to be happening. So what advice would you have for your counterparts around the country?
You know, my advice would be jump in and help. There's something that, you know, as I've been doing emergency management for a while now, one thing that has bothered me personally is that there seems to be an effort to say, oh, you're emergency management, you just coordinate. You're a convener, you know, and that, to me, that doesn't feel active. That's not the reason I got into public service. I want to go do stuff. So I guess my advice would be don't hesitate to be operational. Don't be hesitant to get out there and do things. I guarantee you and your staff members have the talent and skill and expertise to do this. So don't be on the sidelines. Get in the game and help. Take care of people, solve problems.
Okay, it's an exact analogy, but I remember a guy had a wooden buzzard on his desk, big tall one, and the sign out was, patience my ass, I want to kill something. You know, so yeah, it's no fun actually. If you know Mike Byrne, he had a good podcast, really look for it. It's Lessons from Four Major Disasters, and he said he went to one where he was just watching. He was a consultant and working for Microsoft, but he wasn't in the thick of it. And he said, it was really hard to just be there and watch and not do what you were just saying.
Right. And for my team members, it's just, it's exhilarating for them to go out and to think that I physically contributed and emotionally contributed to making a difference in my community. I'm helping make people safe, you know, and it doesn't matter if they're registration for the vaccination site or doing traffic control. They know that the thing they are doing in the field is helping. And it has just, in a time where you think we would be all just worn out and tired, it boosts morale and makes them excited to do more. So that's an extra benefit on top of helping people.
Well, let's talk about that tired part also, because this is another thing I've observed from our compatriots. Is that, you know, this has been going on for now over a year, and I just get the sense that everybody's tired in emergency management land. It's just like one long activation, and that people are, aching to get back to normal, you know, just.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah. And for us and throughout Washington State, this wasn't our only emergency this year. So we had, you know, last year in 2020, we started the year with floods and landslides. Then we jumped into COVID. Then we had community unrest. In Pierce County, we had wildfires in the middle of that with hundreds of people displaced. So there were just, we had times where there were three different activities going on in our emergency operations center. So, you know, I will agree people are tired. We're at a point now where we're, you know, encouraging people to take time off, because, you know, emergency manager, they will keep going until they can't go anymore. So
collapse.
Yes. Yeah. So trying to make them take time off and do some fun things and re-energize themselves is important for me, especially right now, to make sure they get some rest.
You know, I always think back that this, again, date myself, 94, 95, Chelan fires, you know, type of thing. I was at state emergency management, and I was doing like 16-hour days, which is not leaving a lot of time to commute. Sleep and come back. My wife wanted to play. And I'd come home, she's, well, what's going on? I said, I don't want to talk. I just want to sleep real quick. I got to sleep.
Exactly.
And I did that for, 14, 16 days before I took a day off. And I didn't realize how tired I was until I'd had 24 hours off. I was really, really tired. I was running on adrenaline.
Yeah, I can definitely see that in our crew as well. So getting that rest, and it's difficult to make people rest sometimes, or just to shut themselves off from what's going on. So me included, it's very difficult.
Yes. Well, any last thoughts on our vaccination topic for people listening to this podcast? Anything you didn't touch on or cover?
You know, just for the emergency managers, hang in there.
So when do you think it will be better? I can't say the new normal. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to shut down your EOC?
It's tough. My non-scientific guess based on absolutely nothing is I'm betting after this summer, we'll start to see things get back to whatever normal appears to be at the time. But I think, you know, May 1, everyone will be eligible for a vaccine. Doesn't mean we'll have all the vaccines yet. So you'll really see a full court press in the vaccinations over the summer. I think then we'll start to see some things improve. Let's put it that way. So I'm hoping the summer's even better and we have beautiful weather and no fires, and then that'll lead us into a nice fall where we can all recall what our jobs originally were.
Yes. Okay, so I just did the math on my hand that we're talking 5-6 months, so hang in there, right?
Yeah.
Well, one last thing I'm going to point out to you, because I've told people this, I even told my daughter about it, is in your career, sometimes you're within an organization. And I tell you, I was at state emergency management and I was a unit manager. And I thought, well, am I ever going to become the director at the state? And I said, no, not if I stay where I am. And that's when I moved to King County. And I call it the zigzag. And I thought, well, you know, there may come a day when I can come back and be the director of the state. And I tried twice and I was rejected twice. So, so much for that. But in your case, you know, you were competing for the directorship there, didn't get it. You know, you moved off and you zigged, I call it. But then the opportunity came back where you zagged back. Any thought about the zigzag aspect, you know, advice to people that, you know, moving laterally is not the end, if you will? I don't know.
Yeah, it's, of course, for me, it's don't hesitate to challenge yourself. When I had competed for the director position here 7 or 8 years ago and was not successful, another opportunity had fallen in my lap to do a fellowship in Washington, D.C. for FEMA through the Naval Postgraduate School. And I thought to myself, well, normally, you know, I'd only worked for Pierce County for 24 years at that point. And I thought, you know what? I only know local government. It's time to challenge myself. And so going to FEMA headquarters and spending a year there really helped build my skills. It broadened my horizons. And then while I was there, it was just a year-long fellowship. And then an opportunity came up in King County. And again, I wanted to challenge myself to, here's a very large local government. If you think you're good, go test yourself in King County and see if you've really got it. So working there, just such a great experience. Again, it opened my eyes, taught me some much needed skills. And then out of the blue, I got a call from the county executive to kind of come back home. And it really, I do consider it home because it's the place I grew up. And you know, I started with the county when I was just a little 20-year-old, and I really thought, oh, it would feel good to go back home. And it was a great decision. I've loved every place I've worked, but for anyone out there kind of wondering, you know, what to do, challenge yourself and get that experience. And it sounds cliche, but you always have more to learn. You can always get better. And these new opportunities just, they will find you.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I just want to say thank you to Jody Ferguson, Pierce County Department of Emergency Management, for being a guest on the Disaster Zone podcast.
Eric, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for having me on today.
All right. And, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is the biggest disaster to ever hit our entire nation. It's appropriate that emergency management agencies, as we talk today, become involved in supporting the response to the virus, just as Jody has described the Pierce County Department of Emergency Management's response. And now a reminder, everyone, be safe. Think about what you can do today to become better prepared for the next disaster. And perhaps it means becoming directly involved in helping with some aspect of the pandemic response and get vaccinated. Thanks for listening and have a great day. Bye-bye. Tune in again soon for more information on all aspects of disasters. You can also check out the Disaster Zone blog at www.disaster-zone.com.